Allergy season does not slow down when you are on the move. That's why Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are ready whenever sneezes strike. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are allergist approved and silky soft for up to 100% irritation-free skin. And now with the new Kleenex Snap and Go, you can get that same gentle care made for life on the go. Get the Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues you love in a new, compact, durable package. New Kleenex Snap and Go snaps shut for a clean tissue anytime, anywhere. For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex Snap and Go.
Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Sherry DiBenedetti about being a ghost huntress. What was the first time that you were, you know, on this path, you're privately investigating, that you really, you know, you felt like, okay, you walked away from it, you really made a difference in someone's life. It was a really fulfilling moment of, I'm on the right path. I'm doing, this is good.
There's one that always comes to mind. It had to do with children. So it was a mother who lived with her son and daughter, and nothing ever happened to the daughter, but always to the son. There was like knocking and things are moving around, and he'd always really get scared. And the only time he felt comfortable was in his bedroom. But every time he was in the living room, stuff always happened to him. And then the mother had some things happening a little bit in her bedroom. So when she called me, I just had her and her son, like I wanted them in the investigation with me. Mm-hmm. And just because if it's happening to the two of them, obviously I didn't want the daughter there. It doesn't have anything to do with her. Plus she was younger. I'm like, she doesn't need to be there, but I wanted those two to be there.
Sure.
And so when we did it, long story short, it ended up being her grandfather. So it's her son's great grandfather. So he was the one that kept coming through. And it was all like, we had so many EVPs from him. And there was a lot of questions that I had her ask, because obviously I'm not going to know the answer, you know, because I'm like, well, ask him these questions that he would know, you know, and that you know the answer to, because, you know, this way you guys can talk to each other, because I don't know. I don't know what these answers would be. So, you know, he kept saying so-and-so was here with me. And so, and this, you know, so he was kind of, there's proof of who we're talking to.
Yeah.
And, so I asked, I'm like, so why are you here? You know, why do you keep scaring them? And he kept saying, so-and-so is drinking. Well, that so-and-so is the son, you know, and he repeated himself many times. And so she got up to leave to go to the bathroom, and I talked to him. I'm like, listen, he's telling me that you're drinking. So, you know, he was 16. He just got his license. And, you know, so I'm like, you need to tell me. I said, I'm not going to say anything to your mother. I said, because that's something that you should talk to her about, you know, but I said, you need to be straight up forward with me. I need to know. I said, because otherwise I'm not doing my job. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, I need to know where we're going. And so, and he confessed, you know, yeah, I'm drinking. And so he's drinking and driving, basically. Mm-hmm. And so his great grandfather was an alcoholic. And so basically, you know, so to me, it's like, okay, his great grandfather's coming in to scare him and to tell his mother and be like, you know, hey, he's driving. And maybe the great grandfather sees the future and it's not looking so good. If he doesn't stop now, something's going to happen and all that. So, so actually when the mother did come back in, the son told his mother everything. And you know, so that it's so, oh, and so there's also, you know, so we heard the footsteps and everything. And then there was like a lampshade that was like right near the son's head. And he smelled, like he hit that thing so hard that the shade was like going all over the place and the lamppost was like rocking back and forth and it scared the crap out of the son, mm-hmm. you know? And so he's like, so that's what made him say like, okay, like I got it. And then that's what made him confess to the mother. And so everything came out. And so, you know, after that, the relationship got better, everything, you know, like he stopped drinking. And so like he understands and everything. And so that felt good. But also they live in the house where the great grandfather used to live. And this woman's father, so the great grandfather's son, he lived with, you know, the alcoholic. So his growing up was not good, living with an alcoholic. Anyway, so once he left the house, he would never step foot in the house. So that was another thing that I brought up was like, your son never wants to step foot in the house, and, you know, which is sad because he never comes in, sees his daughter and the grandkids and this and that. And so he ended up saying, I'm sorry. Cause I said, is there anything that you want to say? And he said, you know, it's like, I'm sorry. So, you know, of course I have all this information. And then she wanted her whole family there. I'm like, and I said, do whatever you can to have your father come to the house. Mm-hmm. And it took some talk, but he really needs to hear this, you know, for himself.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she set up the whole living room, the whole family came. And so I did the whole, I showed them all the videos and EVPs and stuff. And as soon as he heard the father saying, I'm sorry, like he just broke down, he cried, the family was crying. And ever since that, the father was okay to come back into the house again. And it was like everything, it completely changed everybody. Mm-hmm. So between, you know, the son and then the father coming in and all of that, it's that was like one of the first ones that I did that completely changed. It changed their life, but it also made me like, oh my God, this is incredible. Mm-hmm. And it kind of get, you know, like I need to do more. I need to do more. I need to, you know, do whatever I can, because it was just an incredible feeling, you know, to have these people, feel more comfort, mm-hmm. that, you know, their lives are changed through this. Hopefully the son learned his lesson, you know, into, you know, the whole drinking issue and the father, you know, after all of these years, not wanting, you know, to go back into the house and being so upset with the father, it completely changed his life. So to me, it was one of the most amazing things in the beginning of my investigating.
Yeah. I mean, it shows you, you know, really in full spectrum, what it is all about that you're doing. It's not just collecting some interesting evidence that's going to be online or on a show or something. It's really having an impact on people's lives. And that's what it can be, you know, the most fulfilling part of it that I think a lot of people don't even realize, you know, with, you know, when you dive into this of how much, you know, these things trouble people and what can be done and the messages that can come across. So what is it like for you now these days, you know, having experienced so many things firsthand and helped a lot of people in those sort of situations, when you get the person who's like, I don't believe in ghosts. You know, maybe you're like on a flight or sitting in an airport lounge or something. And they're like, what do you do? And you talk and you get that response. And you have just this, you know, overwhelming barrel of things of like, oh, no. do you try and do the let me teach you something? Or you're like, OK, cool, to eat your own.
Yeah. You know what? I always tell them that's fine. You know, I'm not here to make you believe.
Sure.
Like, you believe what you want to believe, you know, and if you don't, you know, in that, but that's how I am too. I mean, I don't know if Bigfoot's out there. Like, sure. I have no idea. I've never experienced Bigfoot. So to me, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, people have been trying to look for this thing for how many years? Yeah. And they, you know, and I can't believe videos and all this stuff out there, because I myself need to visually see myself experience it mm-hmm. to believe.
Sure.
You know, so I get it, you know, and I always tell them, I'm like, that's fine. You know, and if they ask me, to tell them stories. I'll tell them stories, you know.
Yeah.
But it's funny because there's so many skeptics that are out there. Oh, I don't believe that crap. I don't believe it. But yet
they have a story.
I would say 90% have a story.
Exactly.
Yeah. And exactly. I'm like, okay, so you don't believe in it, but you have this story that you can't figure out. And,
yes.
You know, and you think, so it's like, so you might believe, and that's fine. You know, again, I'm not here to convince you.
Sure.
I'm here to help the people that think that they have issues.
Like, exactly.
That's my.
Yeah, I mean, I 100% agree, because I that's exactly what I was thinking, where it's like, okay, you don't believe in this stuff. That's cool, whatever. But then they tell you their story. And I think it's more, it's not even necessarily, you know, they don't believe. I think it's the dynamic change in their entire way of thinking would be such a shift if they accepted that as something that happened, that it's too much of a bridge to go over.
Yeah. I get it, because I am like that with other things. You know,
sure.
I mean, if I didn't experience these things myself, I'd be like, you know, I mean, I would be the same way. So,
sure.
You know, I get it. I understand.
Has there ever been a time where you've been out there and you truly felt fearful for your own safety?
No, because nothing has ever been like since that night that I first started. Nothing has ever, like, I've been, you know, touched many times, but nothing has ever held me down since that. Like, that was the only night that it ever has. There's a lot of things, you know, like get out and all these other, you know, which I won't, but, you know, but it's just like, but okay, if you're going to do something, you're going to do something, but I'm going to stay here until something happens. And, you know, and I'm still, you know, and I still understand that things are going to try to scare you because they think that they have the upper hand, but still I'm like, no, you're not going to scare me. Just, you know, like, I'm here, because I also understand sometimes maybe they don't know what's going on. Maybe they don't know that they've passed. Maybe, you know, what are you doing here? You shouldn't be, you know, and all that. So I understand kind of what the other side might be, like, they're fearful of me. So they're going to be, you know, like, not liking me, like, hey, get out of here and do this. So it's me saying, hey, I'm not here to harm you or do anything. And, you know, I'm just here to talk and just try to, you know, just have a nice little conversation and be respectful, just like I am to any living person, you know, because of course, you know, you think of like the living and you have two strangers. Well, you don't know each other, so you might be a little scared of one another, but then you just start talking and then, you know, things become lighter. And it's kind of the same way to when you're speaking with the dead, you know, just, you know, I'm here. I'm not hurting hurt. I'm just here to talk. And, you know, things have been going on and I'm here because the homeowner, and, you know, and just tell them what's going on. And it just seems like things kind of, you know, go on from there. I've never had a scared, like really scared that I had to, really scared that I had to, excuse me, I'm on a podcast. Sorry, my daughter just walked in.
Sure.
I never was scared enough to, you know, like run out of anything, because I guess I'm always looking for more also, you know, like,
sure.
So, you know, so like, I want something to happen. I want things to move and yes, touch me and move things and talk to me. And, you know, like I love all of that stuff. And I also find it very fascinating too. So it's just, but nothing has ever scared me enough to, make me run away. And you can be startled. I mean, and there's a lot of things where I'm like, ah! You know, and,
sure.
You know, because anybody can say boo when you're going to speak, you know, be startled. But to harm me or throw something at me, I mean, I've seen things thrown, which is fine, but nothing has thrown anything to me or at me. You know, so, you know, and knock on wood, you know, it just hasn't happened yet to me. You know, and I've been doing this over 25 years, and I've been fine with it. But I've seen many things. You know, I've seen a person get picked up and thrown. And this person was like 230 pounds. Mm-hmm. And he was picked up, you know, like if, you know, like if you pick up a baby, you know, like from the front, like yeah. underneath their armpits, and you mm-hmm. kind of like lift them up. This person was like lifted up like that and then thrown backwards and like in the air. I don't even know how much in the air, but like probably like 10 feet away, he landed and then he slid until he hit his head on a staircase, which stopped the momentum. So, and it was, that was by nothing. Yeah. And there's no way a person could do that by himself. It's not like he's a backflipper, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
You know, I even saw that, and again, it didn't scare me because I didn't have that feeling of anger towards me. Mm-hmm. So that person obviously is scared to death because of what just happened. And I didn't want it to happen again to him. I never thought about it happening to myself because I didn't feel that negativity towards myself. Mm-hmm. You know, and whatever it is, like, you know, I went over there and I'm just like, you know, stay away, blah, blah, you know, and yelling at whoever is around there. You know, so I see things happening, but again, you know, I don't know if it has to do with, because I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. Mm-hmm. So I'm always asking for protection, you know, like my angels and spirit guides and all of that. I'm always asking, you know, I don't want to be harmed. I don't, you know, so, you know, protect me and whatever. So are they helping me? I mean, I feel like they do, you know, I mean, think of the places that we go through, you know? So I do feel protected that way. So luckily for me, all these years, nothing has ever attacked.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Sherry. A big thank you to her for joining us and sharing her experiences on today's program. Until next time, for all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.